My fellow missionaries, the Lord be with you. The gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not.' But afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave him the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered him, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." My fellow missionaries, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's just great to be here. And even though it's very strange for me to look out at almost an empty church, somehow if I close my eyes, I can find myself imagining, I guess, and even seeing all of you gathered by around watching your iPads or whatever you're doing. And it really reminds me of the providence of God and the powerful love he has for each and every one of us. And so much happens as a mystery. One of my favorite poems, and I shared this at one of the earlier masses, is a poem by Dom Helder Camara. And he was the Archbishop of Recife, Brazil. But Dom Helder would get up early morning, every morning, very early, and often he would sit on the stoop, the step of his house. And one morning he's watching these ants pull this piece of sugar cane. And they were working really hard. They were pulling it and pulling it. And he reached down and took one of the ants and picked it up and turned it upside down. And he watched it. And it began to slow down and it became still. And he took the ant and put it back down on the ground. And the ant walked away from all the other ants and went in a different direction. And he ended the poem by saying, "It was the first time in the ant's life it had ever seen the blue sky." And I think of that poem now because now with this pandemic and whatever's happening with this virus, in some ways maybe God's great love for us, and though we don't understand it, maybe what he's really doing with this is turning us upside down. And maybe for the first time, some of us is beginning to see the blue sky. Maybe we've been too much focused on our work and focused on this and focused on that. And even in church people, we're focused too much on a building. But our Lord Jesus is saying, "Listen, I love you just as you are. I love you infinitely and absolutely. I love you no matter if you do anything or not do anything. It's just who you are. I love you." And we have to believe that. And mysteriously, maybe we don't have to be in a church, but maybe we have to realize that there is another church, even more sacred, and that is the person closest to us. And so as you sit together, unless you're by yourself, the most sacred space is that person closest to you. And the other most sacred space is your human heart. And maybe take the opportunity now during this epidemic or pandemic or whatever it is to find that little space in your own heart and say, "Jesus, come to me because I know you love me." And I think we'll feel a change. And my fellow missionaries, I came all the way up from Haiti along with my colleague here, Doug Campbell. 15 years ago, Monsignor Connolly and Carl, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, they came down to Haiti. And I'm reminded at the time that Monsignor had just, not long before that, had spent a good deal of time with Mother Teresa of Calcutta, now Saint Teresa. And St. Teresa used to say, don't be overwhelmed by all that you see and hear. Don't feel you can't do something significant about this world of ours. Just make a resolution that the next person that comes into your space will walk away a little better and a little happier. And that is what happened to us. We walked away a little better and a little happier because your parish, Holy Family, reached out to us and said, we want you to be a part of us. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you have done for us. And my fellow missionaries now, I think we have a little short video to show our work. And actually, I was supposed to do that after the video, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. But we're going to watch the video right now, and then I'm going to ask my good friend Doug to come up and respond to it. Okay. My good friends at Holy Family Parish, so many years we have come up to see you. So many years I was able to come up to Los Angeles and come to South Pasadena and stand in a pulpit and look out at you and say thank you. At least we're here in Haiti, and Doug is going to kind of lead you through a little bit of the videos we have of where we work. But my good friends, it's probably been about at least 15 years when Monsignor Connolly and Carl came down to see me in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And they said they had heard about our work, and Monsignor Connolly said, you know, I would like our Holy Family Parish to reach out to you. Through Father Monsignor Connolly and Carl and all of you, we've been able to do so much over the years. You know, there's 750,000 people get fresh drinking water every day because of you. Because of you now, we have at least 14 operating schools, over 20,000 kids in our schools because of you. Because of you, we have 1,700 elderly that come every day for medical help, for food, and for some socialization. Because of you, we're able to look at a mother's holding her child and saying, hey, listen, you got a chance. You can have hope. There's people up in California in a parish called Holy Family. They'll never abandon you. So my good friends, all I can say from the bottom of my heart, and I join with Doug, but I join with all the people over the years that have worked in Haiti. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I beg you to please continue to pray for us. One of the things that Doug and I have learned over the years is that without God, we can never do it. And every day we get down on our knees, we say, Lord, help me through this day. And almost feeling our Lord saying, hey, I'll never abandon you because I have a group of people up there in California and South Pasadena that'll never abandon you.
Today, I'd like to take you on a short little journey with me into Haiti. You'll see the same things that I've seen for almost the past 30 years. It's been a really difficult year for us. We've had to deal with the COVID crises as well as all the other fighting and the violence that seems to be plaguing the area in Cité Soleil now. And I wish I could bring you there live, but today we're gonna walk together and through, see some images and some of the sights and sounds that I've been looking at for the last 30 years. As the years go by, it doesn't get any easier working there. If anything, it gets harder and harder, only because you see such great need and such desperation. Many of the things that we've done down in Haiti have not been successful. We've had to deal with a lot of setbacks, shortcomings, and failures, but truly, it's God's work. It's a work that we've done together. We've done this together for almost 15 years, as I said before, and we could not ask for a better partner. You've come to your parish with a list of needs. You've met those needs heroically. We've asked you to help us with outfitting our schools with tables and chairs so our students have a place to sit and learn. We've asked you to help us with the feeding of our elderly. We've asked you to help us put together a farm to raise crops that we can use for a school meal. And we've asked you to help us dig water wells. All of these things you've done together with us in a way that no other parish has ever done. So it's an honor to be here and to share our work with you once again this year. And what we are doing and where we're doing it is the poorest place in the world, I can assure you that. We need your help again this year. I know you'll come through. Come with me now and see the places where our children go home after school. See the small little huts that are made out of cardboard and plastic bags, and they put 10 or 15 people in there where they take turns sleeping at night. See the places where the mothers take Coke bottles that are broken and they scoop some water out of sewage canals and they pick that up as part of the daily meal. Come and see where the women go and mix the mud with sugar and salt and make little tiny patties and dry them in the sun in the courtyard of an old prison that's been abandoned. All of these things. Come with me now, today, and see the garbage dumps where the pigs and the goats forage for something to eat, and see some of our school children and other children fighting with them on weekends when they don't have a school meal. You see our kitchens making the hot daily meal, and smiles on our children when they get fed. See their laughter as they play on our soccer fields that you helped us build. See the look of satisfaction in the young women who are studying to get their baccalaureate so they can go on and become what they want to become. See the elderly that some of them can't walk, and our students will go and get them and bring them to the feeding centers. We're happy to show you a place where one of our success stories, Jimmy, wasn't going to school, and now a good 14, 15 years later, we have a young man who's working at our school, who's an accomplished musician and songwriter, truly a success that you can know that what we're doing counts. You are just so wonderful to us. We don't know, none of this, I can tell you this from the bottom of my heart, will not be working without you. You're the reason that these things are existing for us. You're the reason that we can open the doors of our school and feel that we can feed them and give them the books and have the computer in the labs that you helped us got.
But I can remember 1985, I brought a group of college students, Doug was one of them, stood in, it could very well be the same barbed wire. So why do they have barbed wire here in Cité Soleil? So don't you understand? They don't want these people going back where they came from. When Doug and I came here in 1985, there were 500,000 people living on 3 square miles of raw sewage. And yes, they were caged in with this barbed wire. This is an area that we have spent the last 30 years or more in. This is an area where the rat population is 10 times that of the people. Lord Charles stays up at night with a stick to keep the rats away. This is an area where there's incredible human misery. We have Mission Haiti, which is this wonderful mission that comes from your parish. And we have Hands Together. The year that we came down with a group of college students, those young college students sat at the foot of Bishop Constant, who was a living saint. He was a bishop up in northern Haiti. He invited us up and he said, where do you want me to take you? And they all said, take us to where the poorest place is. And they took us, told us, and especially that wonderful Bishop Constant said, listen, every day say, Lord, I abandon myself to you. I surrender myself to you. All the work that you do is good to you. Please, you take care of them.
Well, I don't know how many containers you've sent down, but every single one of those containers brings stuff that would never be there before that we really need. Gosh, we thank Carl and Nelson for all that you've done. Well, I can't tell you what a wonderful gift. You know, Cambria, you're opening your doors to us and staying with us since your visit to Haiti. It means so much to us. We're so blessed that people like Mary Nally and Chris Connolly and Holly Caruso, George McCrimlis, all of you are part of Holy Family, part of our family. we are one together. We are doing this work together. Please don't ever think that what you're doing doesn't mean something. It does. It does. I don't know what other group can do so much with so little. And without you, we just wouldn't be able to do much of this.
And I only can say to you now, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And please, I pray that the Mission Haiti of Holy Family will continue. And I pray that somehow our work, if it be God's will continue to hands together. And what we exist for is to do the work of God, our loving God.
Nice to have you all look at that film with us together today. I hope the film communicates what we need to communicate. As I'm sitting there, I'm closing my eyes, and it's been one of these years where it's hard to kind of measure and explain to people how difficult things are down there. I can just hear the bullets as they zip through the air and screaming of the children as we've had almost 7 or 8 months of just daily violence preventing our children from going to school, and how loud those bullets sound. Yeah, I can hear the sounds of the rushing, overflowing sewage canals that just fill the streets with running water and sewage and garbage, and the screams of the young children from our high school that were there in one pickup truck that got swept down one of these canals and swept right out into toward the sea and flipped over, and they all drowned inside of it. And I can hear their screams as I sit here. I can hear the screams of people being running from the slums because of one gang's moving in on another gang. And I can hear the silence of people. Well, there's no longer people living there because they fled and gone into the hills. It's hard to communicate how hard things are there. And so all these things combined, these noises and these sounds and these difficult times, and what I'm trying to explain to you is what I like to say is what they are is there's the cry of the poor. It's the cry of the poor. And what it really is the cry of our Lord Jesus. And he's crying out to us. He's crying out to you and to me, and he's crying out to Holy Family, Mission Haiti, and the Hands Together. And he's saying, I need you. I need you. Not tomorrow. Not when you graduate. Not when you retire. I need you now. Right now. Who of us likes to go out in the vineyard? The vineyard's full of pain and violence and misery in those slums. And how many times God is asking me to go out in the vineyard, and I said, I don't feel like going out there today, Lord. Then he said he changed his mind. And when you get up in the morning and you pray and you say, Lord, fill me up. I hear your cry. Fill me up. Give me what I need to do to go out in the vineyard. Then you change your mind. You say, yeah. I changed my mind because I believe. I believe. Every one of us that's listening to this Mass, every one of us is here with us today, every one of us has a mission. We're all missionaries. Whatever gifts and graces and talents are given to you are not meant for you. They're meant for everybody else. And I can't sit home and stay out of the vineyard. I was given things I have to share, and I have to use those to help other people. And our Lord will work through us to do that. So today is a day to say, yes, I'll go out in the vineyard, and whatever you've given me, Lord, I'll share it with others, and that's how we'll help this world of ours. We need you. We need you. Our schools have been closed for almost a year. We have a lot of catching up to do. We have to feed our children. We have to keep our elderly fed and help them. We have to continue to hear our Lord's cry, or Jesus' cry, and we have to respond and know that when we do this, We put it in God's hands. I don't know how he's going to solve these things, but he always does. We just have to believe that we can do this, and we have to move forward with it. So please help us today. Our friend Dan and Margo, they're going to come up and talk about how you can help us out to hear this cry and respond to it. God bless you. God love you. Thank you so much, Holy Family.
Good morning, my fellow missionaries. I am Dan Bruick and a volunteer for Mission Haiti. First, I'd like to thank Father Tom and Doug for being with us today. Coming from Haiti is quite a long adventure, and they do it frequently to try to get up to the States to help raise money for Hands Together. I'd also like to thank them for the great video, which certainly chronicles the relationship between Holy Family Parish and Hands Together in Haiti. Tom and Doug, you guys are truly inspiring. Over 30 years ago, Father Tom and Doug heard the cry of the poor. Today, my fellow missionaries, I am asking you once again to hear the cry of the poor in Haiti. These are unprecedented times in Haiti. COVID-19, continued chaos and violence, limited medical facilities, strained to the breaking point. Hands Together is the one and only constant in the slums of Cité Soleil. If you are a parishioner of Holy Family Parish, you most likely received our leaflet of hope for Haiti, and along with that, a return envelope to make your donation, which we desperately need. You can donate with cash, check, or credit card. And for the others of you that are streaming this Mass and did not receive this leaflet of Haiti, please visit our website, www.holyfamily.org, and find Mission Haiti under Ministries tab, where you can donate securely online. As you reflect on your donation, please give with your heart. Please remember the poorest of the poor in Haiti. Give generously. Mission Haiti thanks you. Father Tom and Doug, thank you. I thank you, and have a blessed day.